Okay, huh? The continuing with the translation of the DVDs of Pujya Niruma, Los Angeles, Guru Purnima 2003, Nishchay Vyavahar, which is the S capital self versus the world interactions called Vyavahar. As Niruma says, I bow to the Supreme Lord within you with an absolute sense of oneness and total humility. Today's topic is this morning's session, day 3, Guru Purnima, LA, 2003. Niruma is Nishchay Vyavahar, the self versus the world interaction. S capital. Before Gnan, we had zero idea. We used the word Vyavahar. Vyavahar means worldly interaction between human beings and other beings. What is Vyavahar? We had zero awareness of the self as capital, Nishchay, Nishchaya, and Vyavahar. And this splitting happened after the awakened awareness of Gnan of the Adashri through the Gnanvidhi. And that is when, having attained this knowledge, that we got the two dual viewpoints, the relative viewpoint and the real viewpoint. And this is what Lord Mahavir had given to his immediate followers, the real and the relative. Really, this separation happens and can only happen in the Gnanvidhi. And in other words, the real meaning of world interaction is attained only after one attains the S capital self, comma, the awareness and the knowledge and the experience of who am I in this all universe. Before that, nobody ever has this distinction, the separation between the two, and has zero value of the distinction and the differentiation. It is only after the awakened awareness that all this makes a difference. Now, this world interaction and the Vyavahar is the only thing that needs to be dealt with, because the S capital self has been attained, Nishchay has been attained, whereas in the traditional kramic step-by-step path, millions of lifetimes have to go through self-effort to find out what is it that I need to do to get out of this idea that I am Jeff, I am Kimochi, I am Nada, I am Patrick. And here in the Akram Gnanvidhi, this is attained in just a mere 2 hours of your life. In the first hour, there is the words, the Gnanvidhi, in the words of the Gnanvidhi, make you attain the S capital self, and the worldly interaction, the Vyavahar, is separated. And in the second hour, when the 5 Agnas are given to you, then the entire Vyavahar, the worldly interactions, is seen as it is, and how is it to be dealt with by the one who has now become established in the S capital self mode, state and experience. And so, having attained the self, whatever is left is called Vyavahar or worldly interaction, and one is given the precise instructions, the precise cardinal instructions of how to deal with it, how to deal with it with equanimity, so that one will not be affected by any evidences of the Vyavahar. But in the absence of the self-realization as capital, one is constantly trying to manipulate or to deal with the Vyavahar or the worldly interaction through his own means, through his own intellect, through his own view. And Dadashri has said, the Gnanios have said, they have all said, the Gnanis, Lord Mahavir has said, that it is on the basement of Vyavahar, it is on the basement of the foundation of world interactions, that Nishchay, that the self is based. Therefore, one cannot negate vyavahar, one cannot really run away from vyavahar, one cannot be done without vyavahar. One has to move, one has to attend to the vyavahar, one has to deal with the worldly interactions, one has to face the worldly interactions, one has to, in necessary, do the exact interactions before he can really talk about the self as capital. One cannot push away the vyavahar, one cannot really run away from the vyavahar so that he can get more of the self, etc. So, and nischay, N-I-S-C-H-A-Y-A, nischay, the self, is not really attained in its full glory until one really completes the vyavahar and to attend that which is in front of you with equanimity and without any further rag or dvesh. So this has to be done with a very specific role, with a very specific view. What is vyavahar? What is worldly interaction, says Niruma? It is, all of you must have flown kites, have you not? Have you flown a kite? Have you ever flown a kite? You see, you've got a whole reel of string with you. But if for some reason, if it is not well reeled, if the strings get knotted up, and as the reel is the spool is unwinding and the kite is flying away from you, if the string gets knotted up, then you will have to unentangle it, would you not? And our Deepak Bhai is perfect. He is perfect at unentangling. And so our Deepak Bhai is like this. He will let the kite go, but then when it comes to a knot, he will be concerned about how to unentangle it. In other words, Niruma is saying our Deepak Bhai is a little slow in worldly interaction and entanglement. He doesn't have that much experience. Whereas some of you here, and she didn't mention who, they just cut the string. Instead of trying to bother with unentangling it, they cut the string and then let it go. And so when you are flying the kite, what happens is, depending upon how you have to pull the string and then let go and pull the string in the wind forces, when there is a lot of string lying on the ground, as it is released, some of it may entangle, and therefore, and so what has happened for all of us in Kali Yuga, this current era of the time cycle, is that our worldly interactions are really indeed very entangled. He says you have to deal with each knot and to unentangle it exactly. You just can't tug it, you can't pull it, because the more you pull it and stretch it, it'll tighter the knot will become. You have to let it unwind it, let it unentangle with ease. So therefore, to let it unwind and let it come to a resolution with a naturalness in the way it unfolds. Now Dimple Bhai says, initial. He says in a kite flyer, if you are a rich kite flyer, then you got somebody who is unentangling your strings. In other words, as you are enjoying flying the kite, he is. So how does it happen here in vyavahar? Niruma says, that's file number two for you, is it not? She is the one who unentangles it. Well, the similes are going on in terms of expression. And he says it's very uncomplicated. You're happy. You should be happy that you are not married, because otherwise it entangles even more. And next thing you know, you've lost all your hair on your scalp. And look at this person here. He used to have so many hair. Now look at him. Now he's lost it. Yes. And he says. So, in other words, he's just pointing out to one Mahatma sitting in front of her in Los Angeles, 2003. There is no telling how the string will unwind in life. And after having attained this knowledge, it is an entangled interaction only, and therefore you just need to unentangle it. With equanimity, being B capital, in equanimity, E capital, and then to unentangle the worldly interactions as they unfold. Then he recognized that these entanglements, these knots in the string in life, have been made by you in a previous life only and no one else. And Adhashree has done a very beautiful description and analysis of this vyavahar, with the worldly interactions. So, we have all attained Shuddha Vyavahar, which is pure worldly interactions. When absolutely pure worldly interaction happens completely in every matter, then one becomes fully enlightened. And absolutely enlightened. But for us, you know, for us, we were nobody. We were ordinary beggars walking along the path, and all of a sudden somebody placed us on the royal throne of the self, S-E-L-F. So does that mean that you have become a royal, you have become an emperor or a king? You still, yes, you have been placed on the throne, but you still have to now learn how to deal with your empire, so Mahatmas cannot just say, I am on the royal throne. And Dadashri says, even I do not have 100% Shuddha, pure, Vyavahar, world interaction. Even I, Dadashri says, it's not. We have 4 degrees of deficiency in it. And so, this, by the same token, Mahatmas are lacking purity in world interactions. Yes, to a certain extent, their interaction is pure, but you cannot say that my Vyavahar, world interaction is pure. Because it is not evident to others. It has to be evident to others. What is Vyavahar? Even in discharge, forget about in your intent through the 9 columns, but even in your discharge it should be ideal. There should not be a single vibration of anger, greed, deception or pride, even in your conduct, even in your discharge, even in your experience, even in your unfolding interaction with the world. That is called ideal worldly interaction. That is called Adarsha Vyavahar. If somebody is complaining about you, somebody looks at you and is a little repelled, somebody makes a face when they think about you, somebody has some negative notes about you, you are not considered to be in ideal in worldly interactions. What is ideal worldly interaction? Is it shubh or ashubh? I've got a feeling this has been being repeated, but anyway, is it shubh and ashubh? Nirmay says, no, it is not auspicious and inauspicious. Shubh, ashubh means that which is good and bad. That which hurts others is called ashubh vyavahar, and that which helps others, it is shubh vyavahar, and it is based on ego. It is based on. It is called. And if it. But both of those are associated with ego. The sense that I am Jeff, I am Kimochi. Having it come to the S capital self, then you are beyond the sense of doership, of helping or hurting, and therefore your worldly interactions are not based on good or bad. So then where are you? So Mahatmas are not in the shubh and ashubh vyavahar, the good and the bad vyavahar. But so they are not there, but they are not in absolutely pure vyavahar or shuddha vyavahar. So where are they? Yes, this is a repetition of about 4 days ago, but that's fine. Then such a vyavahar is actually called uchit, means lifted up. A stage between above good and bad, but not absolutely pure. And so somewhere there in the direction of your vyavahar, called uchitta shuddha vyavahar. Uchit means that lifted up. Yes, a mahatma who has been insulted might retort and might react even at a subtle level. However, inside he is not there. He really doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to really give any credence to it. He does not want to support it. And when when your mind, speech and body becomes such that they it doesn't become that. That doesn't hurt anyone, not even a slightest vibration of violence is evident. A counter violence is evident in a situation which would have otherwise caused some inner turmoil, artha or raudradhyan. Then that is called adarsh vyavahar, or that is beyond uchit, which is beyond. But so inside the mahatmas are non-violent, but externally in words, speech and actions they may show evidences of reactions to violence, or may appear to be a little violent in their speech, in their and aggressive in their reaction. And so Niruma says this is where one has to extricate himself from and even move away from it in a significant. So akram, in akram, this the external and the internal are totally different. The external is discharging depending upon how it was filled in the last life, and it may appear to be disagreeable and uncomfortable, counter-reactive and subtly violent and sometimes overtly violent, yet within there is 100% purity of intent, and therefore such a mahatma of Dadashri has entered into the realm of Shuddha Vyavahar but has not quite attained it. And so he is conscious, even if, and such a mahatma is in a constant, unending, incessant purusharth of wanting to move away from even the subtlest evidences of violences that is tend to express at a subtle level in the thoughts and at an overt level through speech and actions. And so when others see him, such an enlightened one of Akram, they'll say, how can he be a Mahan Atma or a Maha Atma or a great soul or an enlightened one? Because look at his behavior. Look at the way he is moving around. Look at the way she is acting. But that is not to be seen. But his signature is not on that. That is why he has moved away from the good and the bad, the duality of the good and the bad, the worldly helping and the worldly benevolence towards uchit shuddha vyavahar, the lifted up state which is beyond the two, and is moving in the direction of the pure or the shuddha vyavahar. It is on that basis that Dadashri calls it, adds a special significance to this called uchit shuddha vyavahar. Now somebody is asking a question. The question is not evident because of the lack of the microphone. Let's see. Supposing, if other people who are looking at us, they will not know that we are in the tie. Is that right, Niruma? Niruma says we are not even worried about the other people. So this one does not apply to the external. We have to look within where we are. Niruma, yes, not sir. Yes, we are not to be concerned with the external. Now, nobody can judge our internal worldly interactions, right, Niruma? Nobody knows where we are, really, right? Niruma says, we do not want them to judge us, do we? We do not want their certificate. Sir, everybody else will say, Niruma, that your worldly interaction is absolutely stupid, man. This is weird. This is no good. How come you're behaving this way? That is irrelevant, says Niruma. Yes, it's relevant to the point that they are complaining to you. But you know, Niruma says, even those who have not received self-realization are regretting their wrong actions through speech, thoughts and mind. But they are for them it is, their repentance is associated with ego, with a sense of the self, self, small, that I am Alisha or I am Nada. So this is, but they, and therefore they clear it through the medium of the ego. But Dada, she says, we as Gnani, we have Shuddha, Shuddha Vyavahar. Double words, double use of the word Shuddha. Pure, pure Vyavahar. So because when you distinguish pure worldly interaction in two categories, one an Uchit Shuddha or a lifted pure Vyavahar, or an enlightened pure Vyavahar, Shuddha Vyavahar. And for the Dada, Shri, it is Shuddha, Shuddha Vyavahar. which is pure, pure vyavahar, and that is what the world calls a god. You have become a Bhagwan. The other she says is very simple. The day your wife calls you as a god, says, here is a god right in front of me, then your work is done. You have attained Shuddha. You have become Shuddha, Shuddha vyavahar. Your world interactions have become pure. You have become a Dada. Now, Nirmala, you talk about entanglements. Do you think, are they new entanglements or old entanglements from past life? Niruma says they're both. They're both. There is new, but she says they're both, says Niruma. One from current life and the one from past life. The one from past life was, say, a knot it came. In this life, instead of unentangling it, you grab hold of one and you start pulling. She pulls in that direction, you pull it in this direction. What's going to happen? But you know, if you want to unentangle it, you have to put some water over it so that the string softens, and so instead of unentangling it, what do? You just take a piece of scissor, cut off the knotty section, and be done with it, or then try to tie it and make it a simple knot. But Niruma says very few people can really unentangle it in the way it's supposed to be unentangled. If you really want to go to moksha, which is to attain final nirvana, this is for Mahatmas, then you have to proceed on the path of the uchit shuddha vyavahar towards the shuddha shuddha vyavahar. And what happens with water and a string, Niruma? And don't you think it makes a difference if it is watery? You see, by adding water, you're making it worse, because then it is very difficult to unentangle a string which is wet. Because of additional... Supposing we cut off the knots, those worldly interactions remain pending. Do they remain pending, Niruma? Yes, they remain pending, says Niruma. You can't cut away the knots and expect the knots to have gone away. Next, supposing we are interacting with Mahatmas, Niruma, in job or business, and then they come to satsang, but supposing they move away from satsang and they move away from Dada, what happens? What should we do? Shall we just say it's vyavasthit, or? Nirma says we have to do a lot of pratikraman and personally go and says, listen, because of my business interactions as a Mahatma, it has affected you and therefore you are not coming to satsang. Or you can all go personally and just apologize, because tell him not to miss the satsang. But if he doesn't come, then you cannot do anything more. And you have just said that it is on the basement of vyavahar, the worldly interactions, there is a self. And on the other times... Okay, so in other words, the only worldly interaction that gives you the self, that is called pure vibrations. So ultimately, it's only the pure interaction is going to be. He says the pure interaction has to be there, as long as you have the last breath. Because he says, as long as you have to eat and breathe there, that is called worldly interaction. Forget about interactions at the worldly level. So there cannot be the self alone without worldly interactions at that level, is it not? Yes, it is there now. The meaning of vyavahar changes. It is no longer with anybody else, with another file, but even when you have to eat the last morsel of your life, that is a worldly interaction, is it not? So we have to really come to some kind of conclusion. means in other is that called this flawless vision, Niruma, when you're talking about this thing? He says everybody has some kind of worldly interaction, is it not? Because Ashubh Vivarthi with Ashubh means impure Vivarthi cannot go. With right worldly interaction he cannot get liberated. With wrong worldly, he will have to have Shuddha, means absolutely pure in worldly interaction. When will some interaction become pure? When it will only become when he comes into Shuddha Nishchaya only, which is really when he becomes absolutely pure, when he becomes egoless, then only he can really start getting extricated from the worldly interactions. But as you let go of the worldly interactions, then you become free. Dada Shri has said this sutra in different ways. Some people say that you don't need the S capital. It is you have to improve your worldly interaction. Improve your worldly interactions. When you improve your worldly interactions, then your S capital will be installed completely. Because there is a question of the ability of the non-self complex versus the energies of the S capital complex. So how is one balancing between this energy on this side of the line versus the energy of the one who says on the other side of the line, which is yes, hey, this is not one-sided viewpoint.
So even the leva jata jo nishchay prapt karna aur jo leva shuddhi vartat na.
So and therefore, and so therefore, you know, is purity of is that, in other words, the one is its ultimate letho. He said, through the five agnas, from the elevated pure vevar, one will end up into automatically. If you apply five agnas, automatically you will become Shuddha Shuddha. Okay, every Mahatma says, I do not. And so, it should not be so, it should be slow. This is the beginning of vevar. Is it because let's say that is yes, it has to be in exactness of five agna to really come to the level of the absolute pure self, says Niruma. Nothing else. It is not, you know, just because you've attained the self, it doesn't mean that it should just go in this direction. And Niruma, it is this man says that the train of moksha is on two tracks. He says on the two tracks and in the nishchay. He says when you become absolute self, when you become the his summarizing the whole thing. He says if you want to run the train, you'll have to be both. You have to use both the tracks, the one of the relative as well as the real. And then, is my understanding correct? He says you already attained the track of the self as capital. However, the track of the worldly interaction is not as level and smooth. It can derail the train, and for that, therefore, you have the five agnas. There is no other way to really keep it level. With five agnas, you have a solid level, a parallel track that will not topple your train. When we, Niruma says, yes, we have to really apply all five agnas exactly, then the vevar will remain absolutely pure. Niruma, next one. From next question. In my worldly interest, there's the office plus five or six Mahatmas and five, six non-Mahatmas. But in the office, he says, I have to tell them, please do this, please do this work. And then sometimes I have to really force them because they're all Indian Mahatmas in his office. Half of them are Mahatmas, half of them are non-Mahatmas that he is employed. So if I say something, then you are the boss. He says, there, what do I have to do if I hurt somebody? You are not a husband, you are a boss there. So, whatever is correct, wherever it is correct and appropriate, you have to do that much over there. If you're in a business, you're paying them salary, so you have to get the work done from them. And if they make some errors, then you have to tell them as it is. Just because they're Mahatmas doesn't mean that you should not tell them. But from within, you should have the vision that he is the pure soul, and he's the non-self. So this is how it is. The relative and the real. You just keep that separation from within, even though externally you have to continue to tell him or push him towards maintaining the business. That is only how the business will happen. Otherwise it will not work, would it? Dadashri says, initially I never used to say anything to the co-workers, but then my partner, business partners, he had a lot of co-workers. Dada had a lot of workers under him. Initially he used to just observe them, but then he says, my partner says, just because you're not saying anything, yes, you may not want to be violent in speech, but can you not really show the drama of violence so that they will start working? Otherwise they are all going to say, this man who is our boss doesn't say anything and is just sitting there. And so Dadashri says, oh, this is before Nandada understood it, and therefore then he will not really just go ahead and thrash them verbally, but he'll say, my dear friend, what have we done for you that you are not, you're taking the salary but not working properly, not paying this, not doing the number of hours that you should be doing. Don't you think that will hurt our business? We are all together in this. No, my friend. Even though he is the boss, Dada would talk like that with his inferiors. And so he says, yes, if it happens here, you just have to do pratikraman, that is all. Because if they are Nirma, you talked about Upadan and Nimit. Upadan is a, it says, you give the simile of Upadan means ability. It says, Upadan means your worldly ability, and Nimit is the Nishcha, is the self. It is comes back to the Krupardeva. It's Upadanu naam lai jeta je Nimit e nahi sadvevar, which is one of the couplets of Srimad Rajchandra. The one who says, I am able to do everything well in this world, and therefore I do not need a gnani or to liberate me, or somebody else to tell me how I need to do my worldly interactions, then that is not called right worldly interactions. Because ultimately, in order to really come and to extricate yourself beyond the good and the bad, you will have to come above it. You will have to go beyond it, and you will have to come to the S capital self. And that worldly interaction which is not pushing you in any directions of the bhautik, in terms of the relative, the terrestrial, the relative, the interactions, that has got two components. That which makes you go into the world, that is called right vevar or sad vevar, but your idea is to really have more and beauty, more good things in the world, to purify, to improve your worldly difficulties, etc. It is called religious interaction, dharmic vevar, dharma. You go and do all the various eightfold stuffs of Patanjali, and so you are earning merit karma, but your aim is to have more and more of the same. In other words, a better worldly life, better for yourself and those around you, including your relatives. That is not aimed towards liberation. It is aimed towards and then there is a moksha lakshi vevar, which is that which is aimed towards liberation. And that is called the real sadvyavar. It is called the real right worldly interactions with the ego as a base. Yet he has not, and therefore such a person is involved. So whatever he does, jap, tak, dhyan, in other words, chanting, renunciation, all this dhyan, which is meditation in their terms, concentration, and then renunciation, fasting, reading of scriptures, etc., absorbing scriptures, they are all really meant to help one move in the direction of the self. Yet he has not attained the self at all, and he has not even come to the level of the uchit shuddha state where he gets lifted up from it. And then ashubh vevar, ashubh, which is a very dangerous word, is the absolute opposite of shuddha, which is hellish, that which leads you to hell. Vevar, it is like killing, murdering, maiming, etc., this kind of to hunt for pleasure, etc. This is called ashubh vevar. This binds one in a very guilty mode, which will ultimately end up with very serious consequences in a later life for the one who is not awakened from the sense of doership. So now that is called, but from the good and from the bad, he comes to the good. So these are all the major divisions of vevar. Dadashri says our worldly interactions is adarsh. It is shuddha, it's pure, but it is also accepted by the rest of the world in a very beautiful manner, and therefore it is called ideal worldly interaction. It is called. Even Hiraba had such love for him, and she looked at him as a god rather than as a husband. This is called the adarsh vyavahar of the gnani. Hiraba was the wife of Pujya Dadashri. Such ideal interaction does not happen in kramic path. In kramic, of course, the nishchay is at the top level of the self. They bypass the worldly life. They bypass wife and children, and they have taken off into places like the Himalayas, etc. But for Dadashri, I have personally seen that even as he interacted with the world, never bypassing a single individual, not even a child, he attained ideal worldly interaction. And so his discharge, you can say that was his discharge that he brought from a previous vevar. This was shuddha shuddha vevar, adarsh vevar, ideal worldly interaction. And everybody who came in his countenance, in his vicinity, in who even heard about him, started experiencing a sense of bliss that was unmatched and never before experienced. Yes, when your file number 2 accept you as a god, can you imagine the achievement, the attainment, when your file number 2 says this man is a god, the work is done. Is Lord Krishna's wives, Rukshmani or Satyabhama, never accepted him as a god? Yes, they would accept him as a pati from permission. In other words, my husband is like a god. I should treat my husband like a god. But they never accepted the Lord Krishna, their husband, as a god. So there is a very subtle difference. So you and initial phases, says Sirish Bhai, that Hiraba, initially she never accepted him as a god. Initially she used to say he's like Lord Krishna. But at the end, of course, then he was to say that this is Dadabha. But because she had a lot of love for Lord Krishna, 85, so when was this happened? After 85, she started accepting him as God himself. Until then, Lord Krishna was her god. For Hiraba, wife of Dadashri. Next question. Supposing we hurt anyone through our speech. So we recognize that he has been hurt. So we do pratikraman. But then, what kind of awareness should we have? Should we have the awareness that we should not hurt anyone, or we should continue pratikraman from within? Niruma, now you have done pratikraman. Now you have to hang on to the awareness. Niruma, sometimes I am not aware that I hurt the other person. So then, what should I do? So then I should just really try to control my speech, and then I should think before speaking. Niruma, he says, Niruma, the more you use speech, the more you'll hurt people. So the more you come towards the lesser use of speech, the lesser you will hurt other people. But you know, that person says only one sentence and you have 10 sentences in front of him. Niruma, that is the nature of the stock that I have. He says only one sentence and I say 10 sentences in front of him. Niruma gives a big smile. So Niruma says, you got nothing else you can do except just try to get him more awareness on it. Radha always liked, meant Krishna. I said, Radha was never a wife. Radha, and this is when Radha was 11 years old. And Radha was not the lover of Krishna. She just loved, she was attracted. She was only an 11-year-old gopi but she considered, much later she came to recognize that he was a god. Until then, they were just infatuated with the Lord. You know, we say Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Was she not his wife? Well, she was only 11 years old then. Yes, he would play with them. He would just... He was only about 4 years older than her. And then he became an old man. But yes, just as he would play with little girls, you know, like a man would play... Now, do you think those people considered him as God? No, even much after he is gone that they say he was really a God, Lord Krishna. They were just playing with him. We haven't seen anybody touching the feet of Lord Krishna, have we? You should know. You know, do you think anybody touched his feet? Niruma is asking, because she's asking somebody who has done a lot of studies on Lord Krishna. Let's see what the answer is. There are no description. Just say he is there with the flute, and a whole bunch of gopis, these young girls, are all around him, just swinging, going round and round, and just are totally absorbed in their one-pointed devotion for the Lord only. Yes, this was based on their rag for the Lord. And so it is, and the word Radha is from Raga, Aradha. To Aradha means to really to go towards. It is associated with deep devotion. It is devotional attachment. It is through bhakti, but it is not with the view of reverence of the ultimate God. When you recognize that the person in front of you is a human God, then there is, you are beyond your, then the entire bhakti ends really. That is right there. And Niruma says, this gopis had so much attraction. But whenever as soon as he left Gokul, if they were so much devoted to him, what happened? There were thousands of these gopis in Gokul, but when he left Gokul, what happened to them? Nobody followed, not a single one of them followed him. But then in the story of the role of the gopis is over, he left Gokul. What did they? Did they get married? What did they do? I mean, I know what happened to all these girls. And then we don't know much about Radha. This was about 5,000 years ago. We don't have much of a story. Yes, with Dada. Yes, says Dhaman. He says, we all used to go wherever Dada was there, says Niruma. Again, microphone is very hazy, so... So now somebody is describing their experiences with Dada. Can tell us more again? Sir, say it again. What are you saying, ma'am? And the lady. And this is.
Yes.
So Krishna sent Uddhavji from Dwarka to Uddhavji. So this is partly she is being cut off. She is cutting off, so we don't have her sound. She is giving another perspective of the love of the gopis for Lord Krishna. But I feel Niruma, another person, that he says, no, we are not going to go into the spirituality of Dadashri. But the Lord himself was different with reference to the S capital knowledge. But we, in the worldly stories, yes, we Niruma says, I remember Odhavji's story. Odhavji's story with Lord Krishna. But for 10 days after the Gnanvidhi, Niruma, wherever I would look, I would see Dada, I would see Dada. After the Gnanvidhi, I could see Dada in everyone for the first 10 days. Is it not the same thing? Is it not? But he says, then if I see the Dada in my wife, then how can I deal with her? And therefore I asked that this be stopped. He says the train went away 10 days after the Gnan. For the 10 days he could see Dada in everyone, including in trees and plants. Niruma. And Yasubhai, there's another question. There is a stage. Supposing it's a stage of Das Yasubhai. And in those such worldly interactions like Yasubhai, the boss, man who just asked a question. Supposing the boss how is one to really remain? The boss has to work. Supposing sometimes as a boss you have to work much harder in your company. How can you prevent elevation and depression? If you remain in Agna, then that vyavahar is correct. Whether your co-workers get elevated or depressed by you. A judge had come to Dada. He had asked this question to Dada. Dada, he was a Maharashtrian judge and he had received Gnan, and he asked, Dada, sometimes in some cases I have to give capital punishment, I have to hang a person to death, so then will I not incur sin effects, will I not have demerit karma? So, because I make the decision of giving the punishment. Dadashri says, you are bound by duty, you have brought. And recognize that it is according to circumstances that happened. You are not making the independent decisions, you are making the decision based on the evidence that has been presented to you by the courts, by the court, and the judges, and the lawyers. And therefore, it is evidence dependent, is it not? You are not really the one who is making the decision. You are bound by the duty, that is what you brought in your life. And if you can do it without rag or dvesh, without attachment or aversion, then you are free. You should not have, you are beyond any feelings and emotions there. You are just and that is how you need to perform your duty there. Then you will not bind a karma, you will not bind any sin effect. It is not considered sinful. Elevation and depression happens when there is rag and dvesh in the relative. How do we know that there is no rag and dvesh? What is the barometer? It is very simple. Then it says Niruma. The answer is, yeah. Either you are not attached towards that person, nor are you averse to that person. But inside Niruma, but I feel that something good has happened or something bad has happened. No. Vyavasthit is the doer, says Niruma. Vyavasthit is the doer. In those, does one has to do pratikraman in the circumstances? Nirma, so this guy says, yes, pratikraman is a safe side. Yes, yes, do it if you feel. But yeah, do it pratikraman to get it done. Even if, suppose, does he have to do pratikraman if there is no rag dvish? Nirma did. If you give a sentence without zero rag dvish, then he will not. So this Rishpa is again saying pratikraman is important. And Nirma says, yes, do it for safe side. Now there are some statements. The first verses on. So first there is on the basement of Vyavar, on the there is the Nishchar. And then there is the Uchit Shuddh Vyavar. She is just summarizing what has just been discussed. And then the ideal Vyavar of Dada Shri. So in all of this, so is your Nishchay dependent on your Vyavar, or is it your Vyavar dependent on Nishchay? That is what I want the question. After, Nirma says, it's only after awakening that the splitting happens, is it not? It is only after awakening that you have attained the Nishchay. Before Gnan, the both of, there was no Nishchay at all. Whatever Vyavar, worldly interaction they were doing, they were the essential doer of it. That was their decision. The decision was, Nishchay means decision. The decision was that I am the doer. Now after awakening, the decision is that I am not the doer. So the doer has become separate. So after Gnan, you have attained the non-doer Nishchay, which is that I am not the doer. And now whatever is left is the interaction. And because of Akram, our worldly interaction was a mixture of good and bad, good and bad, good and bad, Shubh and Ashubh, Shubh and Ashubh. And it was a filth stock from last life. And all that filth stock is called worldly interactions. Now all of that must become Shuddh, must become pure. How can it become pure? Means what is the definition of purity? That all the Paramanus, the subatomic particles that have come as together in the form of a karma, a pudgal karma, has to dissipate in its original state and become pure. That is called Vishrasa, subatomic. And so initially he says on the, If you cut off the Vyavar, if you move away from it, if you scorn it, if you push away from it, then that is not considered correct, because it is part, essential part of you. You cannot be without the Vyavar. You cannot be alienated or divorced from this Vyavar. Then only your as you see it from the perspective of the S capital, and that is the basement. That is. So on the foundation, yes. So on the self rests on the foundation of the worldly interaction. That is why Dada Shri has said our five agna. For this, it's the first agna is that I am Alisha. He does not say the first agna I am pure soul. There is no shortcut from the first agna. I am Jeff. I am Kimochi. I am Nada. I'm Patrick. So the agna number one is always there. You cannot negate it. You cannot become, you cannot just totally be to move away from it and said this is all an illusion, and which is the point of view of the neo advaitis, and which doesn't work in essence in the reality of life. So then on the other side is, oh, you have to do the worldly interactions, you have to do the worldly actions. So So everybody is trying to, in the world is all constantly, in the karmic path, they are constantly trying to improve their worldly interactions. So, but for those who are just hung up on just continuing to improve their worldly interactions, then Dada Shri tells them that without the S capital self, whatever you do in the worldly interactions is ultimately worth zero, Z-E-R-O. It is got zero value. So it is from that angle that Dada Shri is saying that. But even if you do it, it's just because you might say a million times that if I purify my worldly interactions, I will attain the self. Dada Shri says you have to have the S capital in your awareness. And how can the S capital come in your awareness without the Gnanvidhi in this current times of the current parts of the time cycle? So, but this is diverted. So, depending on, you see, the karmic application is applied on this side. And this was my confusion. I think there's a follow-up question coming from me in a minute here with Niruma. But now it is more clarified, as she says it from this particular perspective. So the karmic path or the worldly people are constantly engaged through their doership of trying to improve and purify their worldly interactions to the negation or really not having a foggiest idea of the S capital self, and therefore they fall short. And for the akram people, then it becomes very easy. In other words, having the S capital, having attained the self, then what is left is only vevar, the worldly interaction, and you have already attained the uchit shuddha level. You have transcended from the good and bad, and therefore you have to deal with that which unfolds with the equanimity that is based on the basement, on the foundation of the experience of the self that has been attained in the Gnanvidhi and the five agnas. And then it will just totally, five agnas is the key. So yes, there is the expectation. So vevar, worldly interaction will remain until absolute enlightenment. But it is out of expectation. It needs to be molded. That it is not the worldly interactions of the world. Now in this connection, Niruma. If you do the worldly interactions according to five agnas, but the filled junk will still, can we decrease the filled junk that is unfolding? Now Niruma says you are not decreasing the filled junk, you are looking at it from the viewpoint of the five agnas. But does it have any positive effect? Does it change the field stock? Supposing if you look at it from the S capital, and he's talking about doership. There is a fallacy in the question there. He says, if I do the worldly interactions with the base of the self, will it improve the non-self complex? Niruma says, no, it won't improve. It is just emptying. You will feel that it is emptying. But then there won't be anything left there. Supposing I want somebody in my work as an accountant. So if you do not have awareness, then what's going to happen? But once you have the awareness, the break will come in 1 or 2 days. And sometimes it might even express at all. And then after a while, it will not even express inside only, because his question was, I feel that something wrong has happened. But what is it? He says, later on, you will not even feel that. Next question, I think it's the end of satsang. And Deepaku has gone for a walk. He has asked us to sit for 5 minutes, so let us do samayik for 5 minutes. I'm just going to pause now. Niruma is there, Deepak Bhai is there. Let's do Vidhi now. Deepak Bhai is here doing the Vidhi for all of us. Shuddhatma Chum, Shuddhatma Chum, Shuddhatma Chum, Shuddhatma Chum.
Thank you.